Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Mark. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20.
People can believe all the right stuff and will go to hell on a grease pole. Because you can believe all the right stuff, but if it hasn't affected the way that you live. You know, I saw this growing up in the community I was involved in. It troubled me. It troubled me how I saw so many churches around, over 2,000 churches. But our city was just going down and down and down. I saw how you live like you want to live Monday through Saturday. Then you get religious on Sunday. You play church music on Sunday. And you just do this Sunday thing. And I never saw it affect the way that people lived. It was what they did on Sunday. It was just a show. You come to church for the show. You come to church. So when you go to a show, you dress up. So you dress up. And come to the show. And then you hear the choir and then it's the big production. It's the show. And then the pastor gets up there and it's a show. And I wonder why it never changed people's lives. And it troubled me. I said, what's wrong here? And now I know what I know. Now, you know what it is? The people didn't walk with the Lord because they were never taught how. It was just a show that they came to, a production that they came to. And everybody, you jumped around, you flipped around, you ran around, you did your thing, you ran and did your show. Then you go home and live and do you. And that always troubled me. And I sat back and I saw it. And I was very troubled by it. And I'm still troubled to this day. And I said, we're going to give an account as pastors of how we taught God's people how to walk with him. That's why the Bible said, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment. We're going to be held accountable how we taught people how to live. That's why I am not going to deviate from this book. That's why I'm going to give it to you chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, all 31,173 verses, all 1,189 chapters. I'm going to give it all to you. And then when we get done, we're going to do it again. And then again. And then again. As long as I'm here. Because people don't walk with the Lord because they're not taught how. And so belief, it affects behavior. Look at verses 8 and 9. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Jesus cast the demons out of these men. And according to verse 9, there were possibly 6,000 demons in them. Because the word legion is a Latin term. A legion of soldiers were 6,000 soldiers. So he said that, look, my name is Legion, for we are many. Possibly 6,000 demons in these guys. Look at verse 10. It says, also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. The fourth characteristic of demonic activity is that demons like to reign or control over countries and nations. We see that they beg Jesus not to send them out of the country. This reminds me of Daniel chapter 10, verse 20, when the angel brought Daniel the answer to his prayer and how he was delayed 21 days. He said because of the prince of Persia hindered him or held him up. Or the demonic spirit that was overseeing Persia tried to keep him from bringing the answer to Daniel. Then he said, you know what? I got to go back. He got a couple of good licks in. I got a little black eye right here. That's where it came from. He got a couple of licks. I got to go back because the prince of Greece is on his way. Satan has demons overseeing countries and nations. Why? To try to influence the decisions of that nation against the things of God. Do I believe that there is a demon overseeing America? Well, looking at the laws being passed today to practically outlaw Christianity or anything that is godly, it is very well possible. Very well possible. This is why we must pray constantly for our nation and our leaders. And by the looks of things, we need to pray a little bit harder, a little bit harder. Look at verses 11 through 13. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. The fifth characteristic of Satan is that his power is limited. His power is limited. According to verse 13, Jesus gave them permission to go into the pigs. We see this in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. When God asked Satan, he said, Satan, where you been? He said, you know, I've just been cruising around, you know, earth, you know, doing me, doing my thing. He said, okay, well, have you considered my faithful servant Job? There's none like him in all the land. He said, yeah, I've considered him. He said, you know, I can't get to him. You got this hedge around him and I can't get to him. You just lower the hedge. I guarantee I can get him to curse you to your face. And God said, okay, I'm going to lower the hedge, but you can't take his life. See, he had to get permission to do anything to Job. And so too, the same is with us. Before Satan can do anything to us, he has to get God's permission. There's nothing that happens to us that has not first been filtered through his love for us. But when God sees that we make choices contrary to his word, then he lowers the hedge and allows Satan to get to us to a certain degree. Or he can allow the consequences of our sin and choices to take effect in our lives. He told us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to his flesh, of his flesh, he's going to reap corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he's going to reap life everlasting. In other words, if we sow to our fleshly appetites and desires, we will reap the consequences of those choices. You keep sleeping with someone you're not married with, unprotected and all that sort of stuff. You end up with a baby. That's the consequences of sowing to the flesh. You do it with multiple guys, got multiple baby daddies and all that stuff out there. Those are the consequences of your choices. But when we make choices to do spiritual things, then we will reap life everlasting, or our life will be abundant, overflowing with God's favor and blessing. We sow to the flesh, and you hooking up and moving in with folks you're not married with, no ring, no commit, no nothing, hooking up, mixing finances and stuff together. And then when that person get mad, decide to bail, you got all that mess and holding up courts and wasting their time to try to untangle mess you got yourself into. Those are the consequences of sowing to the flesh. Folks do it all the time and they see no problem. And because of the economy is bad, folks are making terrible fleshly decisions. And all in the name of, well, you know, I got to do what I do. I got to do me. I got to do the thing. You know me. I got to do, you know, I'm going to do me. Okay. You do you. And then when the consequences of those choices come up, when they come home to roost, then don't be blaming God. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So Satan has to get permission from God to do anything to us, which I'm very glad to know. Look at verse 14. It says, so those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. So Jesus gives permission to the demons to go into the swine. According to verse 13, 2,000 of them ran violently, you know, over the cliff and drowned in the sea. This is something I just have to mention. This is the sixth characteristic of Satan is destruction. Destruction. John 10:10 says, you know, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He said, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to destroy his destructive nature. Parents, pay close attention if your child is talking about death, dying, all that sort of stuff. Pay close attention to that sort of stuff. Death, dying, all that sort of stuff. Always want to wear black. Just be very mindful of that. I'm telling you, Satan is near. It's not just a fad. It's not just some kind of, don't just write it off. Pay close attention. Pay close attention. Because Satan's nature is destructive. And according to verse 14, the people that were keeping the pigs, when the pigs went off the cliff and stuff, the people that were keeping the pigs went into the city and told on Jesus. I guess they didn't know anything about snitches get stitches. I guess they didn't know anything about that. They went and told on Jesus. Now, before you get, you know, get all weirded out over these poor pigs, and Jesus put those demons in those pigs, and those pigs killed all those pigs, you know, them poor pigs, you know. Well, keeping pigs was, that was an illegal practice in this day for Jews to have pigs like this. Pigs were considered unclean. And the amazing thing about it is these pigs were considered unclean, and it was very similar to like the marijuana farms. It was an illegal practice. Jesus got rid of an illegal practice. Look at verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Oh, really? So when the people came out to see what had happened to the pigs, people went in and said, man, then Jesus came and, you know, ran my pigs off over the cliff. When they came out and saw the demon possessed man clothed and in his right mind. This is the seventh characteristic of demon activity, is insanity and nudity. Verse 15 says that when the demons were cast out, they were clothed and in their right mind. Now, I am not saying that everyone who likes to be nude is insane or demon possessed or something like that. No. But what I am saying is that there is an association that demons have with nudity and insanity. Why is that? 2 Timothy 1:7 is not on the screen for you note takers. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, then who did? You and your horror movies. If God didn't give us a spirit of fear, then who did? We're going to be entertained by Satan. We're going to be entertained by the one who brings fear. I just find that just mind-boggling to me, that I can receive entertainment out of that which Satan brings. I can't get down with that. I cannot. And so God gives us a sound mind. This man was clothed and in his right mind. This is why I believe that Satan is behind the whole pornography industry. When he gets men caught up in porn, it destroys. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. It destroys families. It destroys marriages. It destroys men spiritually. Satan is all over the pornography industry. Men, I'm telling you, Satan is all over it. He's all over it. And when he gets caught up, it starts to destroy. It starts to destroy us as individuals. It destroys our marriages. Then it's destructive. It's destructive. And I will say that there is a lot, not all, but a lot of people in mental hospitals that are demon possessed. Not all, but a lot of people. A lot of people who are on the streets, homeless for long periods of time. Satan gets a hold of their mind. Why? Because if you can get a person's mind, you can get his whole body. I remember reading various stories about those people who gave their lives to the Lord who were once homeless in New York and places like that. And how they said when they were out there for a long period of time, they just heard voices in their head just screaming at them all day long to do destructive things. That's what Satan does. And what he tries to do, he tries to get us to where we're not sound in our mind. That's what he tries to do. Look at verses 16 and 17. And those who saw it told how it happened to him who had been demon possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. What? When the people saw the demon possessed men clothed in their right mind, they were afraid. Not happy. Not happy. Not rejoicing. but afraid? Then verse 17 said that they began to plead with Jesus to leave, to leave. They were more concerned, they'll miss this point, they were more concerned with pigs than with people. And we see this today. We are more concerned about saving a whale or a dog or some spotted owl than with a person. I remember seeing on TV years ago about how a dog mauled a little boy and killed him, and how people protested because they were going to put the dog to sleep. And the people protested. Let me tell you something. I've been mauled by a dog when I was 10 years old. Still can see the images and remember the situation. Let me tell you something. I went had a problem with pulling the trigger. No, I had a problem. Not me. To all you dog lovers, don't invite me over your house. I have a flashback. Telling you. Then when I worked at the cable company in California, you know, I had to go in homes with dogs. I had a little one nip me on the leg. So I'm not the biggest dog lover. Not the dog. I said, only if you got a dog, don't invite me over your house. Because I might look at him, he's looking at me, I'm looking at him back, and we may have to just tangle right in your house. I'm sorry. But these people were more concerned. They were more concerned with the pigs than with these men who tormented them. See, and I believe this is where Peter and people like them, they go too far with this mess. Go too far. Too far. I believe these were the founders of PETA, these folks right here. And they were the first members. These folks were more concerned with pigs than with the men who tormented them for so long. They begged Jesus to leave. You got to get up out of here. You mess with my money. That, you know, those pigs are bringing me in a lot of money, you know, and I know they're unclean, but they, you know, they're bringing me a lot of money. And oh, how we like to chase Jesus away when he's pointing out something unclean in our life, something unclean that we're doing. And we like to chase him away. Say, oh, no. Oh, no. I don't want you to teach and preach about that sort of stuff. I'm going to go somewhere else where I don't have to hear that sort of stuff. And we chase Jesus out of certain areas of our lives when he's pointing something out that we're doing that is illegal and something that is unclean. And we end up chasing him away. No, Jesus, you can mess with all this other stuff, but don't mess with that area. Mm-mm. Don't tell me to ask this person to move out. No way. No way. I know what I'm doing is unclean. I know what I'm doing is not right in your eyes. But you know what? You got to leave in this area. You got to leave. And this is what happened. I believe Jesus is speaking to some folks today about this very thing. Look at verses 18 to 20. It says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, Jesus and his disciples are about to leave, and these men wanted to go with them. Verse 18 says that they begged him that they might be with him. They begged him, please let us go, please let us go. See, when Jesus has delivered you, you just want to be with him. Like these men. Do you want to be with Jesus in prayer? Do you want to be with Jesus in the word? Do you want to be with Jesus at church? Or is it a chore to do these things? Is it a drag? Do you got to work up? Okay, I guess I go today. I guess I read today. There's nothing else going on. Nothing's on TV. And nothing else is pressing. And I guess. Is that how... When Jesus has delivered you from something, you can't help but to want to be with him. So these guys wanted to be with Jesus. Please, please. They were begging him, please let us go with you. But what did Jesus do? According to verse 19, he sent them home to their family and friends. Why? Because it's easy to be with Jesus at church. But can you live for him at home? Can you live for him around your friends? Can you have contact with them without being contaminated by them? It's easy to be a Christian at church, but can you Be one around the people who know you the best, your family and your friends. Some of you are experiencing that right now, being the holiday and you got folks in town. Oh, I know you. Yeah, I know you. Been knowing you since you were that high. Don't try to preach to me. See, some of y'all are experiencing that already. This is why Jesus sent them back home. Now, did they do it? I mean, was it like, you know, Jesus told them, go home, tell your friends the great things God has done for you, how he's had compassion. Did they do it? Yeah. Not only did they tell their family and friends what Jesus did for them, but they spread the news around, according to verse 20, Decapolis, which is an area of 10 cities. D-E is 10, and Apolises were for cities, 10 cities. So this area, Decapolis, was an area that covered 10 cities. They spread that news all over the place. Not only did they go home, family and friend, they say, oh, you know what? Hey, we'll be right back, and we're going to tell this thing. It's amazing to me how when the holidays come and family come in town, how folks look at that as a time to skip church. They say, you know what? Family and friends, peace. Well, I already shared with you and talked to you. I got to go and share this thing around. They didn't let family and friends keep them behind. They went and told it around the Decapolis, an area of 10 cities. Can you even share it with 10 people? Have you told 10 people the great things God has done for you and how he's had compassion on you? You can't help but to do it. When the Lord has truly done something in your life, you can't help but to do it. See, a true Christian tells other people, especially family and friends, the great things God has done. That's what we do. It's who we are. We don't have to be pumped. We don't have to be primed. We don't have to be cranked up. It's just what we do. We can't help it. It's like Jeremiah. It's like fire shut up in our bones. We just can't shut up. We got to share. We're always looking for an angle, looking for a way to get the conversation turned that way. And look, and we listening and we try to throw something in with the Lord, see how they bite. And, you know, we're always looking for some angle. That's what we do. It's just who we are. We can't help but to tell people the great things God has done for us. We can't help it. That's true Christianity. Let me conclude with this. We looked at 7 characteristics of Satan and his activities. We looked at 1, his fascination with the dead. 2, his supernatural strength. 3, his association with cutting. 4, how he likes to reign over nations and countries. 5, his limited power. 6, his destructive nature. And 7, how he loves to bring about insanity and how he loves nudity. So be on the lookout for these things in the people around you, because it shows that Satan is near, if not with possession, with oppression. And the remedy is this. The remedy is James 4:7 that says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first thing, it says, submit to God. Secondly, it says, resist the devil and he will flee. You submit to God and his word, and Satan will have to run. Are you submitted to God today? Or do you have the belief of Satan? Has your belief affected your behavior? That's the key. This is the true evidence. Has your belief affected your behavior? If not, if you say, I believe there's a God and I believe the Bible and I believe, but if it hasn't affected the way you live, you're no different than Satan and his demons. They believe, but their belief has not affected the way that they live. The way that they look at your life right now, look at your life, look how you're living. Has your belief affected the way that you live? Can you just do whatever you want to do and no conviction, no sorrow? You just can just do it. Then your belief is no different than Satan's belief. But when your belief has affected the way you live, now there's where true Christianity has come in. You can't help but to tell other people the great things God has done for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And we pray that you will move by your spirit in the lives of the people here. And Lord, there are many people that have seen that they believe all the right things, but it has not affected the way that they live. And I pray that today that they would truly surrender their life to you, and that they would truly see that they, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. May they see a newness in their lives. May they see a newness in the way that they live. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.